It is good to see all of you this morning. I'm kind of anxious to see what the count's going to be because it looks pretty good this morning. So y'all, the brethren, y'all count and make sure you get a good count. So all that aside, we're glad to see everyone. As Danny said, it is the first Sunday of the year. And I hope that you're ready to start the new year off right. And ready to come and serve the Lord again. We do have visitors this morning. We want to welcome you here and encourage you to come back at every opportunity you have to be with us at Eastside. I've been doing a series on Sunday mornings talking about where we get the Bible and things of that nature, but being this January of 2022, the first Sunday, I'm going to give you a little reprieve. And we're going to talk about not the state of the Union, but the state of the church. I did this last year. And I think it's good for us to kind of know where we stand. They said of 2020, the year will be remembered as one of the most unusual and tragic years in many ways during our lifetime. Satan maliciously promotes the darkness of sin and discouragement resulting from disasters, disappointments, and death. His hand has surely been involved in the upheavals of this past year. His purpose is simple and straightforward: to destroy people's faith in God and thus sweep them into the fires of eternal torment with Him in the end. I think all we need to change on that is 2021. I believe it still applies. The year has still been tragic. Things continue to go downhill in some areas, and Satan is not going to stop promoting darkness and sin and trying to discourage those who follow Christ. But people today are talking about the tears that they've cried over 2021. And sadly, most of the people are going to be more brokenhearted over who we've lost from Hollywood than other people. But their hope is, as well as ours, when it comes to worldly things anyway, and possibly spiritual things, is that 2022 is going to be so much better. But things have changed, but they stay the same. The politics in this country remain the same. I don't care which party you are. One blames the other, and the other blames back and forth. And that's the way it's going to stay. That's the way it's always been. Politics remains the same. The parties have changed power of who's in government, but the game plan is still the same. They still cast blame for everything that's done on each other instead of taking responsibility for their own actions. And just like in our past, in past years, I believe that we have much to learn and much room for growth. I'm never going to say that we've reached the plateau. I'm never going to say that we've learned enough. I'm never going to say that we have grown enough. You know, the growth of this place would be fantastic if we had to knock walls out and build the auditorium all over again. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have? Not enough room for people to be seated in this auditorium, this large auditorium. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have to look for a seat and you think, well, I'm going to have to get there 20 minutes early just to get a seat? Man, I'd love to see that day. So I'm never going to stop saying that we have reached our potential for growth. I believe, though, our past is our past. We need to let the past, look at the past in an effort to better ourselves in 2022. Paul, when he wrote the First Corinthian letter, he told the Corinthians to look back at their history, the children of Israel in the wilderness, but to learn. Learn. I don't think we need to go back and dwell on the past and what we have given up and what we've lost and what we should have done. If you didn't do it in 2021, do it in 2022, but keep moving forward. Don't look at the past with regret. You'll never move forward if you're always looking behind you. So what happened in 2021? What happened at Eastside in 2021? Well, we've had new members. We've had people, several, to ask to place membership here. That's always a plus. You know, most of the time when a congregation grows, it's because children are coming along and being baptized. And that's a great thing. That's a great sign of growth. But when you have people walking in off the streets and asking to be members here, then that says something about you. That says something about your name as you read through the book of Revelation. What kind of name do you have here at Eastside? Do you have a name where people want to come and be a part of what you're doing? So several have asked to be members here. We have had, you know, in this year we finished off on a high note with two baptisms. Danny mentioned one, but we had John McCullough a few weeks earlier and Ethan Pulley here last week. So it is a positive thing that we see here at Eastside. But also, we've lost loved ones. And that's going to happen. Life can seem unfair when we lose our loved ones. And there's not a person here that death has not touched in some way or another, either recently or in days, many days past. And life seems unfair. And yes, this is a part of life. Whether it's fair or not, it's going to happen. It's imminent. In fact, the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 9, beginning in verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Every person in this room will face that day of death. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. The ones we've lost, though, are not lost like the people in the world are lost. The people that we lost are loved ones in Christ. And they died having that hope of heaven when this world is no more, when Christ returns. People in the world that have never named Christ or put Christ on in baptism, they don't have that hope. And that's part of the sadness about death. The ones that we've lost have what Hebrews 11 and verse 1, the definition of faith, tells us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what they had when they left us. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They also have what's talked about in Revelation 21 and verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The ones that we most recently lost were suffering. And this verse very clearly tells us that they're not suffering anymore. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So some of the things that have happened in 2021, but there's also another thing that continues to hang around. COVID. COVID-19 is still here. Doesn't seem like it ever wants to go away. It just keeps mutating and continues to change in one way or another. And I think I can safely speak for everyone here. We're ready for it to be over with and done. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for COVID to be a thing of the past. In fact, when you listen to some of the experts, they talk like we're at the endemic. That the way things are going, it's more toward the end of the pandemic because it keeps getting lesser and lesser. I don't know. That's just some experts. You've got some experts that talk like it's the beginning of the pandemic. So I guess it's like politics. It just depends on who you listen to. So what's going to happen in 2022? What happens now? Well, I'm going to repeat a few things, like Bible classes. We've been having Bible classes, but we're going to continue to have Bible classes. The men's class, Danny announced it this coming Saturday. Every first Saturday of every month, for 2 years now, we're starting a third year, having a men's Bible study out at his place. This year, it's grown, really. The first year, I think I did all of the lessons. The second year, some of you brethren stepped up and did the lessons. And let me tell you, sisters that don't get to go, you've got some men here that can teach. You've got some men here that can bring good points when they offer a lesson. maybe the monthly Bible study is a stepping stone for getting them into teaching publicly here. But the men's Bible study, we're going to have, I think, different preachers mostly this year. We've got 7 or 8 different preachers coming. Some of the brethren are still going to speak. And it's growing. The number of men fluctuates. I think we have as high as 15, 16, 17 sometimes, and then lower. But for the most part, it is well attended. Sometimes we have brethren from other congregations that come and sit in on these classes. Also, we have a spring and summer class. Spring or summer class. Just depends on when we decide to start doing it. And we've had this class for the last year anyway, last 2 years, I think. And I'll say this, you have attended it well also, but also it's been attended by Christians from other congregations. That goes toward other congregations supporting these classes, goes toward your reputation, the name you're making for yourself here in this town. We're planning to have it again this spring or this fall. Or this summer. It's been suggested that we have another class in addition to that one, maybe in the evening sometime. Y'all talk it around, let me know what you want to do, and we'll put it in the calendar and start it up. Then there's the radio program. I've been doing this radio program, Benny would have to help me, but I think it's been close to 6 years. I did it before we came here, and then when Eastside hired me, they decided to keep the radio program going. It comes on every Sunday morning. I don't know if y'all know that or not. It's announced most every time the services have the announcements. But just in case you didn't know, it comes on 2 radio stations at the same time, simultaneously. 1580 AM and 98.7 FM. It airs at 7:45 a.m. and then repeats on both stations the same lesson at 11:40 a.m. And then it's copied to the church website. And that website is churchateastside.com, in case you didn't know we have that. I hope you do. I hope you know we have that website, and I hope you're making use of it. There's, on the administration side of it, I can go in there and see a graph of how many people visit, how many people are returning to visit, and how many people are staying to listen. And at times, I've seen times when there's been over 100 people visiting on some services. But the radio program, I want to make a comment about it. I mentioned it in Bible class this morning that there are people from all over the county that are listening to the radio program. I go to Landers sometimes to get tires worked on the car, and somebody will walk up to me and just out of the blue, like my mama used to do, and start a conversation. And that turns to, who are you? And I tell them, and they, oh, I listen to you on the radio. Come to find out they're some Baptist church over in Wartrace. But I get other people that listen to it. People I see at Lowe's tell me, oh, I listen to you almost every Sunday. You need to be listening to the radio program. I know some of you listen to it on the website. Take your tablet out while you're getting ready on Sunday mornings and listen to it. And that's fine too. But the website. The church here pays for this website. You need to be taking advantage of it. Do you know what's on this website? It's a place for you. It's a place for you as members. You can go there and read the bulletin, the Eastside Encourager, in case you didn't pick one up here. Or you can go back and read past copies of the Eastside Encourager. Every sermon, unless we forget to record it, is recorded and then transferred to the website as well as the radio program. There are some announcements on there. When we have a gospel meeting, we try to put that announcement on there. There's a calendar on there. There are places for only you that you can go and look and see who the members are here, which, by the way, needs to be updated sometime. We also have the times of our services on there. I hope that you know by now what the times are. But if you forget, or you need to tell somebody what time we meet, then by all means give them our website and tell them to look there. All of these things that we've talked about, the Bible classes, radio program, what all does that mean? And by the way, we have a Facebook page. I don't know how many of you know that, but we have a Facebook page. Every morning I post a scripture on our Facebook page, and it's not the same scripture that I post on my Facebook page. January the 1st of 2022, let me back up a second. Y'all remember the meeting that we had with the men and the women? One of the suggestions was that, I think it was a suggestion that I put a trivia question on the Facebook page. Well, I'm not putting trivia questions on there. I'm putting questions about the particular verse. So you can answer it, you can comment on it, or you can just study on it. But either way, it's there for your perusing. So what do all these things mean? Everything that we've got going on and have had going on. Continued growth. Like I said, I'm going to keep preaching about growing. We have never, will never reach the plateau to where individually or collectively we've reached the top. We know everything. I had a man years ago that told me he wasn't going to learn how to sing songs. He was going to sing it the way that he always did. Maybe it's a Chuck Wagon game, like we talked about Friday night, or the Porter Wagner show, or the way Elvis used to sing it, or Dolly used to sing it. That's not the way we sing it here. We try to sing by the notes. But he told me that he was set in his ways, that he had reached a certain point in his life that he didn't think he could learn anything new. I disagree. I think it doesn't matter your age, your level of maturity in your life, or where you're at in your position of life. If you ever get to the point where you think you don't need to learn or can't learn anything new, then you're in trouble. You've gotten yourself stuck in the mud and you need a little nudge. All of us can look for positions and ways to improve ourselves in everything that we do in our service to God. But I believe these programs, these classes that we have, are signs that we can continue to grow. And the attendance and the comments, it shows an interest in our number of wanting to continue to grow. When we have 15 or so, or almost 20 for our spring and summer Bible class, then that's a sign to me that you're wanting to learn more. You're wanting to participate more. The men's Bible study, when you have that and you have such constant attendance, steady number of men, it's a sign of growth. It's a sign that you want to learn and continue to learn. And it shows all the members here that there is a love for studying God's Word here at ESAC. And not just the members here, but when we have members from other congregations attend these classes, they see it as well. And I believe we need to build our name as well as building ourselves up spiritually. We have to grow. We have to grow as individuals to make Eastside here in Shelbyville stronger as a collective body. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in the King James Version, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Study to shew yourself, thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You have to study so that you can be approved of God and be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to continue to study. It's not a one and done deal. Once you get baptized, you got your ticket punched. That does not float. That doesn't work. The New King James Version reads this way: "Be diligent. Put some effort into it, some earnestness into it, to present yourself approved to God." That's why you study. "A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As we talked about in Bible class this morning, Peter says you've got to be able to give a defense for the hope that lies within you. If you can't do that, then you're not studying. You're not putting the diligence in, the due diligence, to present yourself to God approved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. You want to present yourself to God approved, and then you want to grow in His grace, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, to give Him glory and honor in your life. The more you grow, the more you show. The more you show Christ how much you love Him, the more you show the world how much you love God. And when the world sees it, you want to study more. When God sees it, you'll want to study more. I think we still need to step up our game in 2022. We can't stop. There shouldn't be any stopping us now. When we step up our game, what does that mean? Well, again, we need to be more faithful in our attendance. Yeah, I'm going to keep harping. I'm going to keep pushing. Just like I'm not going to stop telling us we've got to study, we've got to grow, I'm not going to tell anybody to stop attending. I'm going to keep telling us that we have to assemble. I want to read to you the fiery sermon. I got this from another preacher, and I really like it. And it really makes sense. So I want you to listen very closely. A man tells this story about the time his preacher came to his home for a visit. The man was a church member who had attended services regularly, but for some reason or another had suddenly stopped going. After a few weeks went by, his preacher decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening, and the preacher found the man at home sitting in front of a blazing fire in the fireplace. The man welcomed the preacher, guessing the reason for his visit. He invited him in to sit in a big chair near the fireplace. The preacher sat down, made himself comfortable, and said nothing. In silence, he watched the play of the flames around the burning logs. After a few minutes, the preacher reached over, took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. The host, still silent, sat back in his chair, watched in confusion, and then fascination as the lone ember's flame diminished. There was a brief glow, and then its fire went out. Soon, it was cold. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the preacher was about to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow once more with the light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. As the preacher reached the door, his host says, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially the fiery sermon. I'll be back next Sunday." The question is asked, where are you? Are you in the flames, on fire for God and the work of the church, assembling with the saints every week? Or are you a cold, dying ember, off to yourself because someone made you mad? Or you didn't get your way about something, or you became fearful or something? It's time to get back in the fire and stay in the fire. Man, I like that. I like that. And we need to step up our game. We need to be in the middle of the fire, doing what we can to grow and to cause other growth. We need to attend more gospel meetings in the area when they happen. Gospel singings. If it's at all possible, you need to be there. Oh, but that's them. Yeah, but when we have a gospel meeting, one of the questions that's always asked me, you think so-and-so will be here? Or why didn't so-and-so show up? Well, they may be asking the same thing. Nobody from Eastside showed up this time. Wonder why. Maybe our ember is starting to die. We need to attend more of our own classes. We need to continue to study, pray, and grow. When these classes are offered by the elders and the church here, why aren't you there? Why don't you come to any of them? Maybe your ember is dying. And when we do these things, do all of these things, then I believe it's obvious, and it should be obvious already to everybody, that we will grow. But there again, it's going to happen slowly. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but our attendance numbers have been steadily increasing. We've been staying in the low 70s for the last few weeks. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that number over there, it's not really a sign of growth. Well, yeah, we're putting seats in the seats, but that's not the growth we're talking about. You could have 200 people in here and not be a strong church. You could have 200 people on the board here and not have a spiritually strong congregation. When I'm around some of you by yourself, I'll ask you questions. And some of you that I've been around recently can vouch for this. I want to know from you as individuals what your view is on where we need to go, what we need to do. What we need to do to make the East Side stronger. Are we taking the right approach to things? Do we need to go a different way in our approach? And then I'll ask you, what do you think I need to be doing? Because I want to know as an individual, not just the preacher, but as an individual, what I need to do to make Eastside grow. And again, when this happens, you're going to see more people. You're going to see more people come in from the community through our doors, and this number is going to increase. But you've got to increase spiritually as well. So what about the church? Where will the church at Eastside be this year? Is it going to be just like any other year? We're just going to keep plugging along. I'm going to go in and sit on my seat, speak to the ones I want to speak to, and hope the people are doing what they need to do. Is Eastside going to grow? Well, you know who can answer that question? You. Only you can determine if Eastside is going to grow. Is it going to remain the same that it's always remained? If it's going to grow, it means that we have to grow as individuals. And that's one thing I keep pushing, keep preaching about. You and I have to grow in order for the collective body known as Eastside Church of Christ to grow. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, unless you try to do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow. You have to learn something new. Gail Sheehy says, if we don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we're really not living. Now, you apply that to us spiritually. I don't want to change because this is the way I've always done it. You know one thing I've always questioned here at Eastside? And I don't get me wrong, I get it. But when services are over with, some of you make a beeline out these doors. The majority of you go out this way. Is it that much farther for you to walk out this way to go to your cars and greet the majority of the people? Or are you that much of a hurry to get out? One of the best things about worshiping God is getting to be with other Christians, is it not? Getting to greet them, getting to know them. If we don't change, we won't grow. If we don't grow, then Eastside's really not living. You know, everybody likes to make New Year's resolutions. Marilyn asked me last night. We took a day and didn't do nothing. I never went outside yesterday. I didn't know the temperature was 78 till the weatherman said we broke a record last night at 10 o'clock. Didn't go outside at all. I never unlocked the back door in the office, never opened the curtains. I worked for a while, and we watched TV for a while and snacked and laid around and watched TV again and snacked and laid around and watched TV and eat a sandwich. And then we scrambled eggs and made bacon and biscuits for supper last night. That was the closest thing I got to hog job for New Year's, was bacon. It's still pork, so. But she asked me, said, are you gonna make any resolutions? Nope. Not as far as the world is concerned. I lose weight, maybe. Walk more, probably not. Exercise more, definitely not. Study more, yes. Pray more, yes. Be with the brethren more, yes. That's what we need to do. That's what I want to do. Everybody wants to talk about losing weight. But do we make any resolutions about our spirituality, our spiritual well-being? I want us to be challenged. I want us to challenge ourselves to grow and improve our lives spiritually. And this is going to be extremely beneficial to you as an individual. And like I say, you know, I've heard preachers preach sermons and people go, well, I wish so-and-so could have heard that lesson. I wish so-and-so would listen to that lesson. You worry about you. You worry about you. You grow and let the other person grow. And if they need help, then you can help them. But you can't help them if you're not growing. You'll benefit from this. But it will also help make the church here to grow and to be more sound. Now I realize, again, this is one of those lessons that's really not designed to cause people to come to Christ. But maybe you want to start the year off right. Maybe you've never put Christ on in baptism and you've been thinking about it. This is the opportunity that God's given you. Anytime is a good opportunity. As I've said in the past, my door is open. My phone is on 24 hours a day. I'll accept any phone call from anybody when they're ready to be baptized. Any time of day or night. If you want to be like the Philippian jailer and do it at midnight, that's fine with me. But this is also an opportunity that if you realize you haven't grown in 2021 and you want to try to do more in 2022, this is as good a time as any to put aside any stumbling blocks that you might have had in the past year or years. And if there's any correction you need to make in your life, right now is the time to do it. God has provided an opportunity. Forget the resolutions. This is the opportunity. This is God's invitation for you. It's not Jeff giving you this invitation. This is God's invitation for you to respond. If you're here this morning,